This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Louisiana Congressman Bill Cassidy, who represents his state's 6th Congressional District. He's a Republican, and for decades he's also been a practicing physician and has very close knowledge of the healthcare industry and also how to help those who are uninsured. He's got a lot of experience in that area as well. As we reported earlier in the week on Monday, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid unveiled what he wants to be the final Senate version of healthcare reform legislation that includes a public option but gives states the option to opt out by 2014 if they don't want that to be part of the healthcare system in their state. On Tuesday, on the House floor, many different members of Congress spoke out about the healthcare debate in general and the Reid bill. Here's what Congressman Cassidy had to say.
Under the plan announced yesterday, the federal government imposes billions of dollars in taxes on all 50 states, imposes billions in unfunded mandates on via the Medicaid program, increasing the debt load of every citizen, creating a new government-run insurance program that, according to the CBO's official analysis, is more expensive than the status quo. Now, individual states can opt out, but their citizens cannot opt out of the taxes, and they can't opt out of the debt, and they can't opt out of the job losses that will result from these higher taxes and debt.
And Congressman Cassidy, it's always great to have you with us.
Thank you, Greg. Good to be here.
Well, you talked about two major concepts there. Let's start with, first of all, what you said there at the end, that even if states were to decide that they don't necessarily want to be part of a public option or a government-run alternative to the current health care system, that they're still going to be picking up the tab.
Oh, absolutely. Those taxes are going to have be on pharmaceuticals, on medical devices, for example, hearing aids and artificial hips. They will be on insurance plans, not just in a state, but kind of across the nation. And so how do you slice out the pharmaceutical tax that is going to be in California versus Arkansas? House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said that the Baucus plan achieves its savings on the back of the middle class. Now, that is Speaker Pelosi criticizing her fellow Democrats' plan.
Well, of course, she is probably saying that because the Baucus bill didn't have the robust public option, as she likes to call it. But under her plan, who would be picking up the tab?
Under her plan, she would like to increase taxes again on the same pharmaceuticals, same insurance companies, but also folks who are upper income, putting a excise tax on them. And so it would be, in fairness to her, be the middle class and a little bit more on the upper income folk. So there's going to be more of a distribution, but there will still be a significant amount of taxes via taxing pharmaceuticals, medical equipment, insurances on the middle class in her package, too. Ultimately, the job loss is going to happen in the middle class. The job loss will not happen in the folks who are living on Wall Street.
Talk about that a little bit more, because several of your colleagues talked about that in their floor speeches yesterday. Explain how the Democratic approach to health care, whether it's the Reid version, the Pelosi version, the Baucus version, is going to specifically lead to job losses.
The power to tax and the power to regulate is the power to destroy. If there is a mandate upon businesses that they have to buy insurance or else they have to pay a tax, ultimately business will have to decrease jobs in order to maintain their current level of productivity. Similarly, there will be a tremendous amount of regulation. And anytime you add regulation, you add expense. Anytime you add expense, that is effectively a tax, and that is not going to job creation, it's going to fund government. In both those ways, you can see that this would happen. The President's Council on Economic Advisors, at the outset of this whole debate, predicted there would be a loss of about 4.7 million jobs under the original proposals. I've not seen that updated, but there's no reason to think that it's changed much, just because they understand that if you increase the expense of businesses, businesses have to make that up in some way, and they often make that up in laying off employees.
Congressman, we talked to a senator yesterday who said he's not surprised that Olympia Snow is not going with the Reid version and that Joe Lieberman has promised now to join the filibuster. He says the Democrats never really believe that in the Senate that this particular approach, anything related to the public option, would likely pass, but they need, for the sake of their left-wing constituency, to throw it out there and then say, well, we got the best deal possible. Is that how you see it as well?
I think that's a very reasonable thing, and I think that's why we need to focus not just on the public option, but on the overall cost of the system as being a tremendous concern. You can imagine that this is a bait and switch, that they bait you by saying, okay, we'll drop the public option, but let's switch to the overall format minus the public option. The problem is that continues to increase cost. Both the CBO and the Joint Council for Taxation have estimated that there will be increased costs with these reform proposals relative to the status quo. If President Obama said the central thing to avoid is increased cost, they are not meeting President Obama's kind of acid test, if you will.
So even though the Reid bill appears to be in deep political trouble, should we read much into the CBO score when it comes back here in a few days?
Well, the baucus plan that came back, which was without the public option, had an inflation rate, according to the CBO, of 8% per year. Now, that more than doubles cost in 10 years. Whenever the president says the status quo will double cost in 10 years, the Reid plan more than doubles cost in 10 years. So I think all their models, which are a top-down, government-run, centralized economy sort of approach, are going to have inflation rates more than the status quo. That's why the Republicans have continued to push plans which put the patient in the driver's seat, consumer-driven health care, if you will, which actually studies show will decrease cost.
Congressman, as I mentioned in the introduction, you've spent a lifetime in the medical community. You've also spent a lot of time treating the uninsured. What have you learned from that experience about the best way to improve care for them?
Yes, you're right, Greg. For 20 years, I've worked in a safety net hospital in Louisiana caring for the uninsured and set up clinics for the uninsured. I found that if you trust patients and if you equip patients to make the wise decision regarding their health care, they will make the same wise decision they make regarding their health care as they do about purchasing an automobile or groceries. The health savings account that we continually speak of, where a portion of the insurance premium is sluiced off and put into basically a bank account, which if the person doesn't spend at the end of the year rolls over and they get to keep it for the next year, really is a way to change the whole psychology. Once somebody is paying out of their own account, they work for that better bargain. If somebody is paying out of someone else's account, they're often cost insensitive. For that reason, there are studies showing that a health savings account is 30% cheaper than a traditional insurance policy for a family of four, and like 27% of people with health savings accounts were formerly uninsured. And so by lowering cost, you increase access to quality care. It works, and that is different from the top-down approach being proposed by the House and Senate Democrats.
How about putting money in their pockets somehow? Some have said refundable tax credits, you know, basically giving people tax credits specifically for the idea of purchasing a plan, or perhaps, as you mentioned, investing in a health savings account and so forth. Should that be part of the equation as well?
I think that for the lower income Americans, a refundable or even an advanceable tax credit would work. But again, I like the idea that you put a portion of that in the health savings account, you use the rest of it to pay for a catastrophic policy on top. If they get in a car wreck or need a bone marrow transplant, they would have coverage, but for the 99% of things that most Americans need, an emergency room visit or a broken arm or a flu shot, they'd be able to pay for it out of their own pocket. If you couple that with regulations making sure that when the patient walks into the hospital, she knows what a procedure is going to cost when she walks in, as opposed to finding out about it when she gets the bill a month later, that would empower that patient to lower cost. When you lower cost for a patient, you lower cost for the whole system.
Congressman, real quickly, let's talk politics as we wrap this up. Speaker Pelosi says there will be a public option in her final bill. It doesn't look like it would pass the Senate. So what, if anything, do you expect to get approved this year?
The American people spoke in August, and they continue to speak that they don't want the public option. Hopefully Speaker Pelosi will hear that. But on the other hand, she's a very effective speaker. She can twist arms. She can manipulate. So if she's able to get her part of her caucus to pass the public option, it could happen. On the other hand, the Senate seems to be listening, if you will, more intently to the American people, and they seem poised to reject it. Bottom line, though, it's not just the public option. It's also the cost. Whatever plan comes through, we just have to be vigilant that it doesn't raise cost.
Well, Congressman, it's been a long road, probably several weeks still to go. Thanks so much for being with us again.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Louisiana Congressman and Dr. Bill Cassidy represents his state's 6th Congressional District, member of the House Education and Labor Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.